Let's get into the word today. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. If you have your Bibles or if you have your devices, turn to that passage. Seth read it. We'll read it again in just a moment. But I want you to go there, verse 17 to 21. Put your finger there, and then we'll get there in just a minute. Growing up, I remember I was the eldest of three children. And oftentimes, if my father was busy doing something or my mother was busy doing something, and they didn't have time to rally the kids to what they wanted, they would often grab myself, and sometimes the others, but usually it was myself. They'd say, hey, I want you to go and tell your brother and sister, and then whatever the situation was. Come and tell them to get ready for dinner. Tell them to come in from the outside. It's getting late. Tell them this, tell them or that. That I became the messenger of mom or dad. How many ever had your parents do that to you when you were younger? Okay, go tell. Go tell your brothers and sisters, go tell. So now it was my responsibility to speak for my mother or my father. Now when I'd go and speak to my siblings, sometimes they'd push back. I don't have to listen to you. You're not mom, you're not dad. And I would say, no, but mom said. No, but dad said. Now, if I deliver the message and they don't obey, it's on them. That mom and dad is going to say, well, weren't you told? Well, yeah. Well, then why didn't you obey? Now, if I get the message and I don't tell them, now they're free, but I'm the one in trouble because I didn't deliver the message. I didn't carry that. And this morning when we talk about living in the kingdom, the scripture that you just heard said, we have been given a ministry of reconciliation. We are Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. When mom and dad would tell me, go tell them, they were making their appeal through me. Go tell your brother and sister, this is what I want them to do. And now I speak in their name. And I would say, mom said, dad said. It's not me talking, it's them talking. I'm just delivering the message. And if I'm delivering the message, you're not accountable to me, you're accountable to them. You follow me? When we live in the kingdom, we are Christ's ambassadors. What does it mean? What does that mean in the nuts and bolts level this morning? That's what we're going to learn. And when we read the Bible to figure out what it means to live in the kingdom of God, well, it's just every page. It's like, where in the Bible does it say how to live in the kingdom? Well, whole Bible. It's the whole thing. Everything that we're told to do is kingdom living. Everything we're told to avoid is kingdom living. There are some things that aren't appropriate for people in the kingdom of God to do. There are some things that we are commanded to do. That's kingdom living. And it's on every page. The Old Testament and the New Testament. So with that in mind, I want you to read this passage with me. We're going to all read it out loud, all right? So read it with me as it's on the screen. Let's say it together. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, the new creation has come. The old has gone, the new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to himself through Christ and gave us the ministry of reconciliation, that God was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. And he has committed to us the ministry of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God were making his appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. God made him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Can you see all the identity words in there? So that we become the righteousness of God. We are Christ's ambassadors. We are new creations. The old is gone. The new has come. There's a ton about our reformation, our transformation in those passages. When you become a follower of Jesus Christ, you are now a completely different person with a different mindset, a different set of values, a different set of motivations. We're different. And we've got to be different if we're going to be effective. God has called us to that. The new has come, this passage says. You're a new person. A new person when you give your life to Jesus Christ. I know that sometimes we don't necessarily have the emotion of a new person. And that it's a process. We don't suddenly, you know, go to bed or wake up one morning. We're our old self, go to bed and wake up the next morning and we're a brand new self. Well, we are in the sense of our righteousness, that we now have his righteousness. We now are in the sense of forgiveness, in that it says he doesn't count our sins against us anymore. That's gone. That's instantaneous. But the development in that reformation takes time, doesn't it? I've been serving Jesus now for 48 years. I'm still not there yet. Still growing, still learning, still stumbling and getting back up again. It's a process, and we know that. But in that process, I am declared new. I am declared. That's the word, the word you see in the New Testament a lot, justification. What that means is that as soon as I accepted Jesus, bam, I am new in Christ. Brand new. Everything is gone that was before, and now the new begins. There's another word in the New Testament you see a lot, sanctify or sanctification. That's the process word. So I'm declared new, and now I'm becoming new at the same time. And that's powerful. That gives me faith. Because as I'm working it out, I don't have to worry like, oh man, it seems like I'm taking one step forward, two steps back. Anybody ever been there? God, am I ever going to get this? Am I ever going to overcome some of these struggles that I have? Am I ever going to become all that you want me to be? Because God, I really want to be that. I really want to do the right thing, but I don't always. And I want to stop doing the wrong things, but I keep doing them. And all that struggle, the fact that I've already been declared new gives me the faith to keep going. Because it's not as if I'm trying to get to that declaration. I already am. Does that make sense to you? In the cross of Jesus, in God's sight, I am perfectly righteous. So while I'm working it out, I can stand confident in what he's already proclaimed. You follow? So I don't have to worry. I don't have to walk on eggshells all the time thinking, oh no, man, if I blow it, I'm in trouble now. And I used to live like that as a kid. Growing up in the 60s and early 70s, it was everything holy, 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 holy. And that was good. The problem is that it was holiness without oftentimes the declaration. So that every time I acted unholy, I thought, I got to go repent again because I'm going to hell for sure. I literally lived in fear that if I did a wrong thing and I were to die the next moment, I wouldn't be with Jesus. And that's just not gospel. He has declared us righteous in Christ. All that identity stuff, it's all built in there. And it's not as if, let me make sure we understand this. It's not as if we're a new person in the sense that, let me try to explain this right. That we are becoming what we were designed to be originally. You follow? When we were born, the desire of God was for us to be his and to live for his purpose. And of course, the sin nature that's in all of us, we need that recreation. But we're reclaiming what God's original intent was. And that's this whole thing we've talked about identity the last 2 years. God made us with a beautiful, fantastic, wonderful, purposeful identity. But growing up in this fallen world and being convinced of its lies and being taught that there's a way that's different than Christ to live, a worldly life, that we just have never discovered how God made us in the first place. And as we grow, our eyes get open to that. And we start to understand who he really made us to be. When we're born again, when we become like little children, and we understand, and God changes us. He transforms us. And when that happens, our thinking changes. Remember when you first met Jesus? The light went on and you started to think different thoughts. Now the old thoughts sometimes still nagged at you and nipped at your heels. But you had different thoughts. Now you have different motivations. Now you have a different purpose. All of us who call Jesus our Savior should be living in that way. I have a different thought process, different values, different cultural mindset, different purposes, different motivation, different view of my future, different view on how I spend my time, my treasures, my finances. It's different. In church, we have to be willing to relinquish the old. We got to let it go. Let it go. Oh, it'll come back. Don't. It's like sin is like a yo-yo. You throw it away, it comes right back. We let it go, and we let it go again, and we let it go again. We can't be like Lot's wife, running away from Sodom, but yet turning around and yearning for it. And boom, destruction on her. Or like the nation of Israel, wandering in the wilderness, yet yearning to go back to Egypt. Back. Why would you want to go back to slavery? And they wandered until that generation died off. We instead need to be like Elisha. When Elijah called him, he was plowing in his father's fields. And he said, wait. And he went back and he burned the plow. He said, I'm not going back there again. I'm going to destroy that livelihood. I'm not going back. I'm going with you, Elijah. That's the mentality we have. I'm a new creation. I'm going forward. Well, we're new. We have a new king to serve. Scripture said, all this is from God who reconciled us to himself. If you're new in Christ, you have a new boss. If you're new in Christ, you have a new master, a new savior. And it's not that he hasn't been there the whole time. He has been there the whole time. Just now that we recognize him as the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God, you lead my life now. I don't. You direct my steps, God. I don't. I ask you where you want me to go. I don't decide where to go and then ask you to bless it. Father, you are my master. You are my Lord. Jesus said, follow me. Well, where are you going to go? Don't worry about that. Just follow. Well, what about? Don't worry about that. Just follow. Well, when are we? Don't worry about that. Just follow. That's our life now. We have a new king to serve. And we have a new kingdom to live in. It's a spiritual kingdom. The book of the Revelation, it talks about this new creation that will come. When the new Jerusalem, when this heaven and earth is passed away, there'll be a new heaven and earth. But you see, that's a physical reality. It is truly going to come. All that we see here now, as nice as it is, and we like the mountains and the oceans and the beauty that we have on this earth, it isn't anything to what God is going to recreate. And there will be a new creation physically, a new heaven and new earth physically. There will be a new city physically. That will come. In the meantime, we still live here in the fallen one. But the spiritual kingdom is present when? Now. The spiritual kingdom has come now. So our job is to bring the reality of that spiritual kingdom to the present, and one day everything will be fulfilled in its physical reality as well as the spiritual reality. And that oneness will occur. The kingdom is here now, folks, and God has given us the ministry of reconciliation. There's a new family to live with. He reconciled the world to himself. Not individuals, but the world. When we understand our identity in him as new creations, we also realize our new identity as a new family. We belong to each other, Romans says. We're responsible for each other, Romans says. That we hurt when we hurt, when someone else hurts. We rejoice when someone else rejoices. We are the family of God. One day we will be together, and it's a sad, sad, sad reality that so many of those of our biological family may not be with us. I hope that's not the case, but I know the reality is the fact that some will resist Jesus. And the understanding of the spiritual family will be so vivid at that moment when we realize, like Jesus said when he was ministering to the people and someone came knocking at the door with a message and said, Jesus, Jesus, outside is your mother and your brothers and your sisters. And Jesus looked at the people he was ministering to and said, these are my mother, my brother, my sisters. And he was teaching at that moment, yes, I love my mother, I love my brothers and my sisters. But there is a new family. It's a spiritual family. It's an eternal family that we are born into. And there's a new purpose to live for. He has given us the ministry of reconciliation. Church, I want nobody to misunderstand. And you might misspeak once in a while, and I'll give you grace on that. But no one should come to me and say, Pastor, I don't have a ministry. Yes, you do. What is your ministry? The ministry of reconciliation. We just read it, right? The pastor, I don't have a calling. Yes, you do. What's your calling? To be ambassadors. That's what he's called you to do. Every single one of us has a ministry. We have a calling. Every one of us. We just read it. We are now Christ's ambassadors, as though Christ were making his appeal through us. All of us together. The bottom line is we're new. The way we think is new. Through repentance, change our minds. What we value is new. And most beautifully, how we think of ourselves is new. We have a new identity. Ask God each day, if you're wrestling through, God, I don't know. It's all this identity talk. I don't know. Ask him every day, God, who do you say that I am? Ask him. He's not going to lie to you. Ask him. Each day, let God talk, the loving God who called you apart, who made you ambassadors. Do you think he would call you and then not equip you to do what he's called you to do? Of course he will. Ask him every day to fulfill that in your mind. I love this quote by Michael Heiser in a book I've been reading lately. It says this about this kingdom now and the kingdom then and the two worlds that exist, the spiritual and the present. Or rather, the spiritual and the physical. He says this, the story of the Bible is about God's will for and rule of the realms he has created, visible and invisible. Through the imagers, that's what the author calls us, is his people. We image God, we're made in his image. Through the imagers he has created, human and non-human, the angels and so on, he's also created. This divine agenda is played out in both realms in deliberate tandem on earth as it is in heaven. Powerful quote to realize that. Jesus said, when you pray, pray, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. There are two realms, one spiritual, and we don't know a whole lot about that one. We know it exists. We know there, you know, angels are there, but also principalities and powers of evil are there too. In the spiritual realm. We also know there's a physical realm. That's what we know really well. We know about this earth that we live on and how we do that. Those two are working side by side. Rather than not side by side, they intersect and they overlap. And every now and then, we can see the spiritual realm invading the physical realm. Has anybody ever thought that maybe you had an interaction with an angel? Okay, a couple, not a lot. I'm not surprised about that, that the scripture says that sometimes we have entertained angels and we didn't know it. So you may have and then you don't realize it. Have you ever had a prayer answered miraculously? Okay, a lot more hands. Isn't that the spiritual and the physical overlapping? That you ask God in the spiritual who you cannot see and then something happened in the natural as a result of that prayer. That's the kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And then all the other little coincidences that happen in life. When you know it's not coincidence, you know it's God's hand. And you know that it's moving, that he's moving. These two kingdoms, kingdom in heaven, kingdom on earth, overlapping. What God wants is his dominion on earth as it is in heaven. And how does he get that done? Through his spirit, or by his spirit, through his people that he's delegated. So how does that work? Let's stick on this thing about being an ambassador. The people that Paul wrote to, they understood about ambassadors very, very well because they were under Roman rule. And Rome had ambassadors that would be sent out into the different nations and the different areas that they would conquer. Rome was, at the time, and maybe even today, the most vicious and efficient fighting force as a nation. And once they would conquer a nation, they wouldn't just conquer and leave, they'd conquer and stay. And they'd conquer and stay to redefine the culture. so that they could then expand the kingdom and expand it with strength. Well, when they would do that, they would send in ambassadors. And there was two types of provinces. When Rome would go and take over a certain area, there would either be a Senate-controlled area or an emperor-controlled area. Now, the Senate-controlled areas, the Senate was a governing body in Rome, just like we kind of have a Senate, but their Senate was more stronger than our Senate, or our separations of power. There was just like the one power and the emperor. That the Senate-controlled areas were over provinces or areas that they'd conquered, but those people were not rebelling. Those people accepted Roman rule. They said, you beat us. We're not going to fight. It's going to be a peaceful transition. Well, there was another kind of people that the emperor needed to control, and that was a more turbulent group of people. They didn't like the fact that Roman took them over. They wanted to fight back. They wanted to resist. They wanted to rebel. And in that case, Rome would send or assign soldiers led by an ambassador to go and govern that area for or in the name of the emperor. So when that ambassador would go, he would speak for the emperor with the emperor's full authority. The ambassador spoke, it would be just as the emperor spoke. Like when mom or dad spoke and said, go tell your brothers and sisters, I would relay the message, not my own message, but from the boss. And then I would tell. When they would overtake a country, the Roman would send a delegation of 10 of those senators with the conquering general and with an ambassador, and they would redraw the boundary lines of the nation. They would redraw the constitution. They would set new laws so that that area, that nation, would now come under Roman culture and Roman rule. They very, very literally brought that group of people into the Roman family. It's an interesting thing that happens when our military gathers. I read this not too long ago, and I thought it was fascinating. That when there's a gathering of the military leaders, they won't name the general or the admiral over the Navy or whichever the top leader is. When the representative, the top leader of, say, the Army would come in, the announcer says, U.S. Army arriving. And when the naval admiral will come in, U.S. Navy arriving, et cetera, et cetera. And then when the president enters, they won't say the name of the president. They will say, United States of America arriving, in pageantry and with applause. That the person represents the greater kingdom. And the ambassador would represent the Roman kingdom. This ambassador lived among the foreign people to bring peaceful assimilation. The ambassador no longer would live in Rome. The ambassador would live in the conquered country. He'd live there. He'd dine there, raise his family there. But he would not assimilate into their cultural ways. His job was to bring them into Rome's cultural ways. Just like today, a U.S. ambassador will live in a foreign land, and he learns the language, or she learns the language. They have different customs, different culture. They may, through decorum, entertain those things. But an ambassador of the United States that takes on the values of the foreign country is no longer an effective ambassador. For instance, say we have an enemy abroad and we send an ambassador there. If our ambassador now starts to speak the values of the people that are our enemies, begins to own those values, begins to speak against the American government or speak in support of the things that our American government does not agree with, that ambassador is no longer a worthwhile ambassador. Because the ambassador is not sent there to assimilate in. The ambassador is there to speak for the representing country. In the same way, the Christian unwilling to be different in a foreign land, it's not worthy of being a good ambassador. The honor of the sending country is in the hands of the ambassador. The country that the ambassador was from is judged by the people or by the ambassador. Moving away from Rome and moving to our current example, that how many times have you heard, those Americans? when in reality, it might have been one or two Americans. When I travel abroad, I remember the first time that we visited France, and we were told, oh, be careful, the French don't like Americans. And so we went there, and we're always very, we understand other cultures, and we understand, speak a little bit of the language, try to do that, and if you stumble, don't worry, they'll help you, but the people find it nice that you at least tried. Be kind, be polite, don't be brash, don't be pushy. And we found that when we went to France or the countries, the people were delightful. Treated us with warmth and kindness and interest and would ask questions and we'd share. And it was beautiful. We came home thinking, what we heard was not what we thought. And then we realized it wasn't that they were that they hated or didn't like us specifically, but that at some point in time, there were Americans that went there that were brash, that were rude, that thought they were better, that would say, oh, this is better in America than it is here, and boisterous. And then those people would say, I see those American people. America is bad. You follow me? And you've maybe experienced that kind of thing if you've traveled about. The honor of the sending country is in the hands of the ambassador. The job for us is to represent. Anytime we go on a missions trip, we teach our people a couple of things. Number one, you represent Jesus. So when you go on this trip, realize that everything you say, everything you do is going to be watched, and Jesus will be judged by what you say and do. We also represent another country. Far less serious than representing Jesus, but we do represent the United States. We want people to have a good feeling about when people from the States come. So realize you represent. And so speak well, speak polite, eat what's served before you, be kind, be helpful, and we'll leave a good impression. Because people will define the sending country by the people sent. With all those things said, I think you already understand where we're headed here when we talk about Christ's ambassadors. Jesus' prayer, your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. This is the prayer of an ambassador. An ambassador prays this every day. Jesus, I am your servant sent by you to this place. I am not a citizen of this world. I'm a citizen of the kingdom of heaven. And what I want and desire is for your will to be done here, because I'm your ambassador. Wherever I go, whatever I say, whatever I do, I am your sent one. And that's what I want. The question is do we really want that? That's an honest question. Do I really want God's kingdom here as it is in heaven? I asked myself that this week. I thought, how would my life change if Jesus truly was ruling here on earth in the flesh? Would I do things different? And I have to admit, there was a few things in my life that I think I won't do that anymore if Jesus is like right here. Of course, foolishly forgetting that his Holy Spirit is right here. Isn't it interesting how if we don't see it, we kind of can slip away and slip into different things? In the same way the emperor commissioned the ambassador to speak for himself, Paul was very real when he said, I am Christ's ambassador, and we are Christ's ambassadors, sent to assimilate people of this fallen world into the kingdom of God. That's what we do. And we represent King Jesus on earth. Where we are, the kingdom of God is. Get this. Christians speak for Christ. That's what we do. And I wonder maybe if that's why so many folks reject Jesus. Not because they reject Jesus, but they reject Christians who, when they spoke for Christ. But what they spoke, Christ really wouldn't have said. Somebody has said it this way. It's not that people really don't like Jesus so much. It's that they don't like Jesus' followers so much. We can't misrepresent our King, church. When we're living in the kingdom, we have to represent him well. And we have to represent him authentically. And we have to represent him honestly. If Jesus would say it, we can say it. If Jesus would not say it, we should not say it. If Jesus would do it, we do it. If Jesus would not do it, we should not do it. Because we represent him. We are Christ's ambassadors, and people will define him by how they define us. Where the Holy Spirit is, or rather, where you are, the Holy Spirit of God is. This last trip to Tennessee just a couple of weeks ago, I mentioned it a couple of times now, and I sat with my one-on-one person, and I've spoken to you many times that God has given me the identity, or has restored, or rather revealed who he made me to be as his invisible influence. And it's so fascinating as I'm working this through and figuring it out how it's just fascinating that my craving at times is to not be overlooked. And Jesus said, you don't realize that's your greatest power. To serve me without having to be noticed. To serve me without being praised. And when I was in that one-on-one time, I was wrestling with that concept of not being qualified or being fearful of being disqualified. And the person asked me, I said, well, what do you think Jesus sees when you walk into a room? And what happens in that room when you walk into it? And I heard the Holy Spirit say, when you walk into that room, healing comes. And I felt that at times. I don't know why, but for whatever reason, that God brings encouragement and healing. And in our church, we've had this ministry over the years that other ministers will come when they've been broken, when they've been beaten down. They come and they find the ministry at Abundant Life, and then they get healed, and then they leave and they go out and they serve restored. Quite a few years ago, we had 9 former ministers in our congregation at the same time, all of them broken. But God restored them, and he sent them back out again. And I heard God say, and God brings wisdom. I don't consider myself very wise, but for some reason, God can take what I say and translate it, and it drops in a person's mind as wisdom. I just think, God, if you can speak through a donkey, you can speak through me. But that seems to happen, not by choice, just by his anointing. And that God brings joy. A brevity and a gladness. And as I said those words, that how I felt and how I felt God speaking, the person then said, and that healing and that wisdom and that joy, who does that sound like? And the light went on. It sounds like the Holy Spirit. And then it was the aha moment. Church, we all of us are the indwelling, or are the vessels of the indwelling Holy Spirit. When we walk into a room, the Holy Spirit comes. When we walk into our workplaces, the Holy Spirit comes. When we go to school, the Holy Spirit is there. When we're in our families, the Holy Spirit is there. United States arriving, U.S. Army arriving, U.S. Navy arriving. When you're there, Kingdom of God arriving. Because you're there. You're his ambassador. You have his presence. You're filled with the Spirit. And when you're there, the Holy Spirit of God is there. And his attributes are there. If he is a healing God, when you come in, healing is there. Because he is a wise God. When you are there, wisdom is there. He's a joyful God. When you are there, joy is there. We represent him, and each day, God, your kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven. And you think that through and say, wherever I go today, God is there. Who is the God that is seen by my presence? That's our question. Am I walking as an ambassador? Or am I walking in some other vocation or some other calling, some other decision, some other way? God has called you. He's called you an ambassador. He's called me an ambassador. And where we are, the Holy Spirit is. We represent him, and he's given us the greatest power, the greatest gift that we could carry. If you say, but Pastor, how do I do this? I don't have any tools. You have the greatest tool. The tool you have is his name. It's his name. Jesus said, pray in what? In my name. And the Father will answer. If any of you gather in my name, I will be in their midst. At the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess. Notice, it doesn't say at the presence of Jesus, at the name of Jesus. The name of Jesus is the power. The name of Jesus. Of those who know him. Psalm 138, verse 2 says that Jesus, that God elevates two things above all other things, his word and his name. And they go together. His word is powerful because his name is attached. His name is good because he keeps his word. His word and his name. It's even in one of the Ten Commandments. Do not take the name of your Lord, of your God, in vain. And we think that means don't cuss. It means so much more than flippantly using his name in cursing. What it means is do not take, the Hebrew there, do not pick up and carry his name as you live your life in vain. In other words, don't carry his name in a way that is useless, in a way that is nonchalant, in a way that you carry his name, but you carry it in such a way that it doesn't have any power. It's just stuck in a back pocket somewhere with all the other lint and things that are back there. And is it, well, yeah, I have his name. Yeah, I'm a Christian. But it's not really anything that's important. It is the most important, the name of Jesus, because you represent him. The name of Jesus. We are Christians of Christ. And it's so sad to me how across Christendom, there's been kind of a movement away from that with things like, well, I'm a Christ follower. And that's fine. Or I'm of the way, or some of these other words. And I understand what's happening. They're trying to separate from the word Christian because Christian has a connotation that they're trying to escape from. Sad. Why would that be? Well, because maybe ambassadors haven't been very good ambassadors. And now we got to change the name so we can differentiate from those ambassadors to the upright ambassadors. I just want to hold on to his name. I am Greg Winschlag, a follower of Jesus Christ. I am his ambassador. I am a Christian. That's who I am. So my words must match that. My behavior must match that. My values must match that. My home must match that. And our striving every day, say, God, I die daily. I take up your cross and I'll follow you. And when we stumble, we get back up. Perfection? No. Even this week, as I was grousing about something I heard on political television, I turned to my wife and I went, oh man, I got to practice what I preach. We get it, right? But we keep going and we keep going and we keep going. Because we represent him and we carry his name, the name of Jesus, the name that is above all names. And we must retain the culture and nature of heaven to be effective. We have to be distinct. We are salt and light for a purpose. There are two kingdoms. One is a kingdom of righteousness. The other is a kingdom of darkness. We cannot be an effective ambassador of the kingdom of righteousness when we are trying to live in the kingdom of darkness. It does not work. It doesn't work. We're an ineffective ambassador at that point. And I see the world today. The world is craving, just craving distinction. I mean, people are calling themselves crazy things in order to be distinct, in order to say, notice me, I'm different. Somebody recognize me. And a lot of times the Christians are saying, don't recognize me. I don't want you to know. We've got to be different if we're going to be effective. We cannot assimilate into the kingdom of the world and expect to be an effective ambassador for the light. It's not possible. The honor of the king is in our hands. It's a proud privilege and a terrible responsibility to be an ambassador of the King. But praise God, we don't do it in our own strength. We do it under His mighty power. He is the one who has reconciled us. He is the one who has empowered us. He is the one who has equipped us. He is the one who has transformed us. He is the one who has recreated us and reformed us. Oh, thank God I don't have to do this on my own. If I could go to Him every day and say, God, today, on this new day, I choose to deny myself, take up my cross and follow You. And each minute I will take every thought captive. Each moment I will measure myself, say, God, I just want to please You today. And when I stumble and when I fall, I know that there is no one righteous, not even one, but my sins are not held against me. For greater is He that is in me than he that is in the world. That if I confess my sin, He's faithful and just to forgive me, and I can move on. Not wallow in the past, as we sang. No more shame, no more guilt, no more pain, no more fear. But instead, hello love, hello peace, hello joy. In an instant, because it's already been declared. I am His ambassador. I am not His perfect ambassador, but I am His ambassador. And my aim is to honor Him because I've been reconciled. And not just my aim, but church, our aim. Our aim. If one of us is a good ambassador, it affects a little small network. But when all of us live like that, we have a movement. And God is moving. God is moving. Why has He put His finger on us? To include us in His mighty movement. Because we're His ambassadors. That's why. We're His people. We're His family. And God is doing the same thing all over the nation. And He's doing it all over the world. The ladies heard it this weekend. And we keep hearing it over and over. God is sweeping and He's moving. And it's up to us to say, God, we're in and we're following. Luke 17:20 says, once having heard or having been asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God would come, Jesus replied, the kingdom of God does not come visibly, nor will people say, here it is or there it is, because the kingdom of God is within you. This week as you go out, let those words echo in your head. The kingdom of God is within me. I am an ambassador. I was reconciled to Christ and have my sins taken away so that, yes, I will see Him one day face to face. Yes, I will live in His heavenly kingdom. Yes, I am forgiven and free of fear, guilt, and shame, but also to carry on a purpose. And my purpose is to bring Your kingdom come from heaven to earth. As God, we're making His appeal through us. Be reconciled to God. And that's our message every single day. God, I am Your ambassador. The kingdom of God is within me. This day is Yours. And I know You'll live Your life different as a result of that. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that by the power of Your Holy Spirit, that we as a family of Abundant Life people will live our lives true to the calling You gave us. Lord, this is not one of those messages that we can say, oh, I don't know if that was for me. Everyone who is called by Your name is an ambassador. The question we need to ask this morning is, what kind of ambassador are we? Are we an ambassador that brings honor to our King? Are we an ambassador that brings joy to our King? Are we an ambassador that brings others into Your kingdom? Father, I pray in Jesus' name. We're imperfect. We fail. We battle. But God, we want You. We do. We want You. Lord, I pray that you would speak to minds and hearts and begin to tell them who they are. Begin to tell them what you want them to do, what you want them to know. God, when we hear your voice, when we hear your leading and your direction, we can then live in such a way that is true to your name. We don't want to carry your name in vain. We want to carry the name with power. God, I pray for each one this morning. There may be some that have to admit in their hearts and their minds and say to themselves that, yes, I do believe, but I don't think I've been an ambassador true to the calling. Today is a new start. God, I'm so glad that you're a God of the new starts. We can say goodbye to that past week, bye to the past month, year, and say hello to the new. God, we can today think differently, repent, and say, God, reshape my thoughts, reshape my identity. Because I want to live in a different way from here on out. True to your name, true to your calling. I'd like to ask, as you're praying, is there anybody that would agree with that and say, that's what I need today. I need that today. I am aware that I am living my life at present, and that I'm quite possibly an ambassador that is not an effective ambassador, either hidden or maybe even an ambassador who is too much influence of this culture so as not to make a difference in the heavenly culture. You've carried the name of the Lord in vain. Then there needs to be some changes. Let's do that. Change is good. Change is, that's going forward. If you want that change today, just quickly, just put up a hand, put it back down. It's not for me. It's not for anybody else. It's just for your statement before the Lord. That's what this is. Saying, God, that's me. I want different. You can put it back down. Thank you. All over. Just loads and loads of folks. Hope you understand. This is never about seeing you. It's about you doing it before the Lord. Anybody else want to join these? Just put up a hand, put it back down. I want to be that ambassador, God, who's true to your name. It brings honor to your name. Yeah, thanks. Praise the Lord. There's so many hands. Let's pray together. You can pray something like this. Lord Jesus, I thank you that you are a loving, forgiving God. You will never turn me away when I come to you with my honest confession. And today I confess that there are things in my life that are unworthy of your name. Practices, attitudes, thoughts, motives. And I want to confess those and lay them at your feet today. And instead, Lord, I want to ask you to fill me with your thoughts. Lord, fill me with your desires. So I understand that you saved me for a purpose, and that you want to make your appeal to others through me. I want to be a worthy ambassador. I want to be worthy of carrying your name and bring honor to your name when I carry it. I want, Lord, people to see my life and say, Christ must be really good because I can see him in you. I want other people to want to believe in you, Lord, because they see my life. That's a good ambassador. So today, Lord, I confess the things that I know I should leave behind. And Lord, I embrace the things that you give. Today, I want a new start. And I thank you for forgiving me. I thank you for cleansing me. And now, Lord, I ask you to just tell me who you think I am. Speak to me now, Lord. Who do you say I am? Let's take a moment and listen. Thank you, Jesus, for speaking. I know that you're talking to people right now and encouraging them by your words. God, I pray that as we linger now, Lord, that you start to tell us what you want us to know, what you want us to do, and we'll do it. Let's continue to dwell on those questions. Just if you need a little more time, Lord, who do you say I am? What do you want me to know? What do you want me to do? There'll be elders at the two front sides of the sanctuary. If you need special prayer during this time of linger, you can come and visit one of those and talk to them, pray with them. If for whatever reason you have to leave, do so quietly. You can visit outside if you like. But we're going to make this a place of prayer as God does some cleansing work and God does some transforming work inside of us. Let's live this week as Christ's ambassadors and honor him and carry his name well.
I've witnessed your faithfulness. I've seen you breathe life within, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Your promises never fail. I've got stories I live to tell, so I'll pour out my praise again. You're worthy, God, you're worthy of all of it. Heavenly Father, I pray as we go out today, we'd be mindful of the reality that we are your ambassadors. I pray, Lord, we would let you lead. Give us the words to speak to those around us. Help us to have a heart of love and forgiveness. Remind ourselves of who we are in you. Thank you, Jesus. May you be glorified in your name.